Oh, man, this is bringing back memories right here. The old Top Gun soundtrack here. the original Top Gun.
Yes.
Right here. Not Maverick, not this past summer, but going back to the 80s here. We're back here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Yes, I am dating myself by throwing that musical reference out there. Willie Donick here with you, along with former NFL great Derek Mason on this Friday afternoon. We got the heavy hitters. We just had our Ask D-Mace. We just talked to Eddie George, who's got his TSU Tigers in action tomorrow against Middle Tennessee. And now we bring on ESPN analyst Lewis Riddick to the show. Always great to pick his brain there. Lewis, thank you so much for joining us once again here on the show. I want to ask you first about Saquon Barkley. I noticed on your Twitter you broke down some film on him. Here, of course, as you would expect, everybody's trying to say, you know, why didn't the defense stop those big plays that he had? Sometimes we probably fail to give the running back on the other side some credit, but it looks to me like you think Saquon Barkley is starting to rediscover the great form that he had a couple years ago pre-injury.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's totally just a function of, well, it's not totally. As it pertains to Saquon, it's a function of his health and his confidence mentally in what he can do physically. So now he doesn't think about it anymore. Now it's just, I'm just Saquon. I'm just doing what I do. I'm running downhill. I'm jump cutting. I'm moving laterally. I'm getting it north and south. I'm finishing with authority. I can stop on a dime on the sideline. You know, the one run he had before the long run that he had, the 69 or 60-plus yard, I think it was 69 yards, he had a run earlier in the game where it was the same kind of G-pull scheme to the left where, I mean, he is flying through the hole and he puts on the brakes. And I don't know if it was Byard. It might have been Amani who just went flying past him, or maybe it was David Long. I'm just trying to remember which guy it was, but he put on the brake. The guy went past him, then he stopped and started again. And I'm going, yeah, he's not thinking about that knee at all. He's just reacting instinctively now. And this offensive line is just playing better. I mean, they really seem to have found a nice mix along their offensive line in New York that is much more physical now. Andrew Thomas looks like the former number one pick out of Georgia, looks totally different than he looked as a rookie. He's totally turned his game around. He's healthy again. And it just seems like Brian Daboll's infused that team with a lot of juice, with a lot of confidence. And, I mean, otherwise, you don't do what they did down in Tennessee on opening day like that if you don't have a different kind of culture and different kind of attitude. And a lot of that starts with Saquon.
Meanwhile, Lewis, you know, you're big into roster building, the choices that are tough when you are dealing with the salary cap. The ramifications of the A.J. Brown trade are interesting. It's interesting that the Titans had pretty good success in the passing game on Sunday, not as good as they wanted to in the running game. But as you look at the Titans roster, right now the perception seems to be they're down. They're not maybe as good as they were last year. But as you look at their roster, is there hope that they can still be a contender in the AFC?
Yeah. Look, I think on the opposite side, remember last year's Monday night game against Buffalo, right? I've watched it a couple of different times now. When, as they say, Mike Tomlin likes to say, when the rubber met the road in the second half, who did they go to when they started throwing the football? There were so many times up in the booth we were going, they're going to 11 here. This is AJ's time. Mm-hmm. It's his time. They're trying to stop Derek. They're going to be one-on-one. You can just see it as plain as day. It's just lined up straight across the board. Micah Hyde sitting in the middle of the field. I said, they're going man-to-man on AJ Brown. Man-to-man. And what was Ryan doing? He was hitting him every time. Every single time. Who is that guy now? Is it really going to be Kyle Phillips? Is that going to be the guy? And that's not being disrespectful to Kyle Phillips, but that's who Ryan talked about, is him having a bunch of confidence in him and having a great relationship with him. Traylon looks like A.J. Brown, but we know we can't say that he's A.J. Brown at this point in his career, but he looks like him. He runs some routes the very same way. I mean, look, Derek, you know, I mean, those shallow intermediate crossers across the field off a play-action pass, I mean, he looks like A.J. running across the field. But can he be counted on to do that kind of thing? And where's Robert Woods? I know it's one game. It's one game. Robert Woods plays 46 snaps and has two targets. Or one target? I mean, between him and Hooper, they had four targets together last week. Who's it going to be? Now, they have time to figure that out. But I think this is why, you know, Todd Downing is going to be facing a lot of questions here in the short and long term, because that's his job. His job is to figure out now, well, in crunch time, who's that dude? We knew it was 11 before. Who is it now? Is it 2? Is it 16? Is it 18? Who is it? And I think it'll be by committee, but somebody's got to step up, and somebody's going to be that guy. It can't always be by committee all year long. At some point, the game becomes about players. The game becomes about, other than 22, who is our guy? Who is our guy when we need it? And they're going to have to figure that out. So I think, you know, there's going to be more probably questions than answers at this point when you're talking about from a, you know, from a team building perspective offensively. Who are going to be the people that they lean on? We knew who that was last year. Defensively, you know, I mean, it's going to be right down the middle are going to be the guys who have to make the plays. I mean, Jeffrey has to make the plays. Kevin has to make the plays. Amani has to make the plays. Bud's going to have to show up and make plays. Danico Autry's going to have to make, and these guys are all capable of doing it. The secondary in particular is going to be, and I mean under the gun, stressed on Monday night. Stressed. Because Buffalo is humming. And you know what the cool thing about Buffalo is now? Maybe not cool for Titans fans, but Buffalo wants to run that rock with authority now. Mm. Now they want to try and bloody your nose a little bit and hit you in the mouth a little bit. That's just how they came. They went out against the Rams and did the same thing that the 49ers always did against the Rams. Get an 11 personnel, 21 personnel with a fullback, and come out there and just knock the living crap out of your edge players and widen that C-gap, D-gap, so they can get downhill on those off-tackle zones and or, you know, they call them bob, back on back, whatever you want to call it. I don't get into all that offensive terminology there, Derek, but that's what they do. But that's what they were trying to do. And see, when you combine that with their spread passing game and then their RPO game and Josh's ability to run, good luck. Good luck. But see, Tennessee's always been able to play that tough guy back alley street ball game with this team, and that's why they've been beating them. And so can they do it again up here in Buffalo in this environment? It's fascinating to me.
We're talking with Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst. Actually, he's part of the broadcasting team for the Bills and the Titans this weekend. Well, Monday night, alongside Steve Levy, Dan Orlovsky, and Laura Rutledge. So, great team together. So I know, that game will be called by you guys. You guys would do a good job with that. Lewis, you just talked about Buffalo's, what they want to do in regards to the run game, because we know in past history with Buffalo, in particular Josh Allen, that he's been the bulk of their running game. And, you know, you don't want the quarterback always to be the guy that you look to make those crucial yards running the football. Do they have the ability to just turn around and give it to those two backs that they got? Now, those backs are good. Their yards per average are good. But it always seems like it comes down to Josh Allen running a football to get crucial yards.
Yeah, Derek, I don't think there's any question that Sean McDermott would like for them to lessen the responsibility, decrease the responsibility on Josh, and have Devin Singletary and have Zach Moss and have James Cook carry the load and have those guys be able to, when they need it or when they want it, just go ahead and hit that thing downhill, get us 4 yards a pop, keep us in second and six, third and two, so then we can just open up the playbook with Josh and do whatever we want to do on those crucial conversion downs. I think none of these backs are going to, look, they're not Derrick Henry. They're not Saquon. They're not Alvin Kamara. So they're not those kind of workhorses, but I think by committee, they can get it done as long as, I think this is even more important, this offensive line continues to play with the kind of physicality he played with in week one. That's something McDermott's been after since he got there in Buffalo. He's been reshuffling this offensive line year after year after year because even though they move the ball up and down the field and they can throw the ball over a yard, he doesn't like the fact that when it came to the run game, they weren't able to impose their will. That's just who he is, and that's who he wants his team to be. Mm-hmm. And now they may have five guys that can kind of play that game, and y'all are familiar with one of them, Roger Saffold, now being there starting at left guard, who I think is as big a signing for them as anyone they added this offseason, including Vaughn. Mm-hmm. Because Roger, you guys know how physical he is. Mm-hmm. You know how dominant he can be in the run game. And he showed that against the Rams last week or a week and a half ago.
Now, Lewis, you spoke of Von Miller. Is he mm-hmm. our, this day and age, Deion Sanders mm-hmm. in regards to a hired gun? We saw Deion go from Dallas to San Fran to win one Super Bowl with Dallas and then win one with San Fran. Now, we've seen Von Miller go from Denver win a championship to the Rams yeah. win a championship. And now, could he be the final piece that puts Buffalo over the hump to win theirs?
Yeah, man, he could. He could. And I'll tell you, Derek, it's more than just about his pass rushing expertise. And I got a chance to go to Vegas this past summer. He invited me to go to his pass rush summit that he has out there with that he puts on with Chuck Smith and DeMarcus Ware and Max Crosby. I mean, all these guys were out there. Chandler Jones, where they go for an entire day on the field in the classroom just talking about pass rush and how to set offensive tackles up, how to throw the best moves, when to use a move, when not to use a move, get off, foot placement, all that stuff. Vaughn's impact on Buffalo as far as him being a guy who can lead, teach, share his knowledge that he had passed down to him from DeMarcus Ware is what I think at this point in his career makes him even more valuable than him coming out there and being able to beat tackles with speed, power, running games, which he can all still do. But it's his mind now. It's his mind and his – and really, like, he's kind of like the godfather of the pass rushers now that everyone goes to and talks about pass rush moves with the same way people did with DeMarcus. And it's actually really, really cool to see, man, because, you know, as we get older and we start utilizing our mind more than our body – you know, me being an old man now, thinking about it in that way, I love that about Vaughn, man. I love that about him. And he talks about how, I mean, Aaron Donald talks about how that's exactly what he told, how he passed his wisdom on to Aaron last year during that key, crucial stretch for L.A. late in the season. He told Aaron, look, man, you may be the best player to ever play this game, period, regardless of position. And I know you like to lead by example, but this team needs to hear you. Don't just show them. Tell them. Talk to them. Especially when it's in crunch time. Tell them, I got this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to show y'all exactly how we need to do things. And he said it took his game to another level. Aaron said that. See, that's the kind of effect Vaughn's having now on teams. And then when it comes time to close a game out, you know, you better be as an offensive line, as an offensive lineman, as an offensive line unit, and as an offense overall, you better know where number 40 is because he will wreck your night. Mm-hmm. He will wreck your night, and I'm sure, I mean, I know Mike Vrabel's aware of that.
Well, I think a lot of that will be echoing in a lot of people's minds if he wrecks the night for the Titans. Lewis told us this on Friday. Hopefully that doesn't happen for a lot of people around here.
Right.
But, Lewis,
right.
Thank you so much for coming on with us. Enjoy the broadcast. We'll be watching on Monday night. But as always, we appreciate your time and insights.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys.